On this week's episode of What the Puck, Brooks Light goes under the knife, Caps go 3-0, and a new goaltender for the Capitals flies down from the North Pole on a reindeer. All this and more on this week's episode of What the Puck. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck, a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and CapsHill.com. Joining me, as always, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. We've had three games to talk about in this past week. Caps coming away. I believe they're doing pretty well right now. We started off last week saying, what the hell? But right now, I got to ask you, what's the score? How did these guys do in the last week?
Well, since we last talked, they went 3-0 with wins over Vancouver, Toronto, and Anaheim. So sort of the opposite of our expectations from last week. They certainly did a very good job against the two Canadian teams, and again out west in California against Bruce Boudreau, Matthew Perreault, and the Anaheim Ducks. It was weird seeing Matty P in those colors, by the way.
It was. It really was.
A little weird.
Ovi and him got into a little bit of a scuffle towards the end of the game. Ovi was pushing Perreault down, so I guess, you know.
Well, Mighty Mouse should leave the goalie alone.
That's true. Once you hit the ice, I guess, you know, there are no friends out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like, it's tough to say that really. I think it's sort of the opposite of the case to some extent with the way things are now with free agency, the way it is with the way players train and from all the different countries, that even if you're on different teams, you still may be friends. I mean, just because Alexander Semin plays in Carolina now doesn't mean he and Ovechkin aren't friends anymore. So I'm sure there's some, you know, I don't know if they're still friends or if they even were friends when they were on the Capitals, but I'm sure that, you know, once you hit the ice, it's not about being friends anymore. Now it's all business, and you want to go out there and win. And if a tiny little man wants to go out and take a shot at the goalie after the whistle or a couple extra swings when he shouldn't be, Ovechkin's going to knock him on his butt.
It's pretty much the way it is. So let's talk about these Caps and how they've done. I mean, we were really – I even said it after those two Penguin games. This is it for them. They're not going to make the postseason, but they looked pretty solid. I mean, there's definitely still some things that they have to work on. They don't look like a team that will go very far in the playoffs. But against these three teams, they've looked pretty well. I mean, we got to bring this up. We already talked about it a little bit on Twitter. Your boy Joel Ward has really been picking it up these last three games. He's looked like a star of this team, and you're a guy who has talked about, at least on this podcast, about that you ought to get rid of him, that you ought to use one of the amnesty buyouts for Joel Ward. Just the fact that he costs too much, not really about the player, but we got to talk about Joel Ward here. He's performed very well in these last three games, and this has really been, I guess, when the Capitals brought him in from the Predators, this is the type of season they wanted to see him right off the bat, and it looks like we're finally seeing what George McPhee has paid all that money for.
Yeah, it took a little while for him to sort of start to live up to that contract, and I would like to point out that I never had a hatred for Joel Ward. I just always thought he was paid too much, and I still think he's paid too much, but he certainly is doing a better job as of late. He's the third leading point getter on this team with 41 points. Now, I would think that if Grabowski was healthy, he's played, 20 less games than Ward, he would probably be the second point getter on the team. But you know what? That's fine. He's actually ahead of Marcus Johansson right now. What's going on there, Johansson? Got to pick it up. But, you know, Ward's done very well. He's done very well as of late. Hopefully he can carry it and help to push this team as they make a run at the playoffs. And, you know, he's one of those guys where with the way things have gone, I don't think he would necessarily be that guy that they're going to look to buy out in the offseason. There may be a couple other guys they may look at instead. Since he's playing well, he's certainly found a good pairing with Jason Chimera and Eric Fair as of late, and we'll see where that goes into the future, into the playoffs, and potentially next season, and what the team decides to do. And, you know, he's done well. I mean, he's certainly done well under Oates' system, and as long as he can continue that style of play throughout the entire season as opposed to just part of one season, then I think that, you know, he's a good player for this team.
Yeah, absolutely. He really has shown a lot this past week. This team against these three teams, they were up against Vancouver, Toronto, and the Ducks. I mean, the Ducks are having a pretty good season out west, but are the Capitals just showing off better in front of teams that maybe aren't as good as, you know, a team like the Penguins that we saw last week? Is that why these guys are coming away with all these wins, or are the Capitals finally getting it, and are they finally getting the idea that all of these games are playoff games?
Well, I won't go so far as to say that they've realized that all these games are playoff games, because I don't know if the team is quite there yet mentally. I mean, they have just so many issues in terms of just acting like idiots for the most part when it comes to needing to play tough. I mean, if you go and you look at the game against Vancouver, that's not a very good team. So, you know, when they went out and beat them, that was more expected. I mean, you had a team that was struggling in Washington, a team that was struggling in Vancouver. Somebody had to win. And thankfully, the Capitals came out as that team. And they went against Toronto, who was actually a pretty good team this season, and they dominated them during the first period. I mean, Toronto had, what, like two shots the entire period, if even that many? And then they went out and they played poorly during the second period, and Toronto was able to get back into the game, and then they got a good, you know, they were able to come out with a win and get the 2 points. And then in Anaheim, I mean, I only saw the first 10 minutes of the first period, but I was able to go watch the highlights and check out all those goals. And I think to be able to stay with a team like Anaheim, who is a very good team in the NHL right now. But then again, we've seen that with Boudreaux's teams in the past to see. So we'll see how they do when it gets to the playoffs. But they are a very good team in the regular season. To be able to go out and beat them at home, where I think they've been playing very well. I mean, looking at their record right now, at home they are 24-7-4 in the regular season. So Anaheim is a very good team at home. To be able to go out and beat them in their building, I think, is a very telling stat. But they have to continue that. They go in, they got a bunch of tough games coming up, and they have to continue if they want to make the playoffs. Right now, with the way the schedule, the standings are at, they are currently tied with Columbus. However, Columbus, it looks like they have the tiebreaker, not to mention that Columbus also has played two less games. They are both tied at 76 points for that last wild card spot. However, they are also 2 points behind the New York Rangers for a guaranteed spot in the playoffs. So they got to keep winning. They got to start taking points away from some of these teams and hoping some of these teams take a couple of key losses if they want to make the playoffs this season.
Yeah, that's going to be the big thing. It's not just this team anymore. It's really about scoreboard watching at this point to see what other people are doing. But the Capitals are at least staying alive. They were very impressive. That's what I was most excited about, was the fact that they performed well up against Anaheim, because I saw the Ducks when they came to town right before Christmas. I was at that game, and the Capitals, they started off great, and then they lost a lot of steam heading into the second period and the third period. And then I saw a team, I did fall asleep, you know, right before the third period, but I did see a team that started off well and at least were able to stay competitive throughout most of the game that I saw against Anaheim. So I was happy to see that. It seems like the Capitals, though, are doing what they have to do. The defense is still going to be a problem with this team. It's not a nightmare. I mean, it's not what anyone, I think, envisioned the defense would be at the beginning of this season, and we talked about that last week, but the defense is definitely still not there. Let's talk about the goaltending, though. Let's talk about Halak, a guy brought in from the deadline. First off, let's just go, not even talk about the game. Let's just talk about the fact that he's wearing this bright white goalie helmet, pretty much, because his hasn't really come in yet, and he's not using one from another team that he was with. Let's just talk about this real quick, Coach Dan. What are your thoughts on the white helmet? Because personally, if he kept that white helmet throughout the rest of the year, I'd be cool with it, because I like the fact that it's so different. I forget, who was it on Anaheim that they just had that matte black?
Jonas Hiller had the matte black helmet, which was pretty cool. It's definitely a different kind of thing. But, you know, some players, when they get traded, you go and you look at, I think Neuwirth is he using his Caps helmet? I think so.
I think he is, yeah.
When the Capitals acquired Cristobal Huey from Montreal, he had his Montreal helmet, but he put a Capitals sticker over the at the chin part of the mask, over the Canadiens logo. And, you know, I'm fairly certain Neuwirth is doing a similar thing. A lot of goalies, when they get traded, do similar things and sort of try and cover their previous team's logos. But he just sort of went with the generic white mask until he gets his new helmet. It's at the painters or whatever. It's at the shop getting painted, and so he'll have his new one hopefully soon. I think I read the other day that he got his pads in with more of a red, white, and blue scheme as opposed to what it was in the past.
I'm just so bored with a lot of the goalies that have been – I mean, there's so many we can talk about. Holtby, Varley, Vokoun, Neuwirth. They all have – like, it's all boring. It's all the same look. I mean, I at least liked Holtby's with the crazy bird in a cage thing. That was at least, like, inventive. But the fact that it's just white, I love the fact that it's just plain white, because I think it – I mean, he sticks out more when you're watching it on TV because it's so bright. I mean, yeah, he's got something else coming in, but honestly, I just like the fact, because even though it's so generic, it's so different than what you see in the NHL.
Yeah, a lot of these guys like to go for the more fancy masks, and you know, you have guys like Tim Thomas, and I remember Dominic Hasek used to have different style masks. But it's honest. I mean, it is what it is. I always think it's kind of fun to see what these guys come up with in terms of designs, and a lot of times they just sort of go with what they have, a couple of ideas, but they go with what the artist sort of comes up with. And you know, the DC masks are always sort of the same, where they have, not same, but in the sense, you know, not exactly the same, but they have these ones where they are always sort of following the DC landscape.
Yeah.
And you got the monuments in there somewhere, various memorials, things like that. But it'll be interesting what happens with the Halak. And I always find it interesting for a guy who may be a rental, you know, why would he want to go and get another mask if then he's going to end up probably signing with somebody else in the offseason?
Yeah, so we'll see. Supposedly his new mask is going to be in next week. But I just wanted to bring that up real quick because I found that interesting that he's still wearing that one. But let's talk about Halak here. He was brought in from the trade deadline. Neuwirth is gone. Holtby and him are sharing the net. But are they really sharing it? Because even though they're not saying it, to me, it all signs point to Halak being the new number one guy here.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly seems to be going that way. I would have figured Holtby would have gotten a little more of a chance. And, you know, it kind of makes me wonder, is Holtby going to be the guy that's in the offseason is going to be like, you know what, I've had enough of this crap. Move me to a team that's actually going to give me a chance to play. And maybe that's a case, but I don't necessarily see it being there. I mean, when Halak was brought in, Holtby was a very he's a stand-up guy. He didn't go out and say, like, this is ridiculous. Why are you acquiring another goalie? He said, you know, I think this is something that's going to help our team. Not word for word or verbatim or anything like that. But, he said that he believed this would help push the team forward. And I agree with him to an extent. I think the Halak-Holtby tandem is much better than a Neuwirth-Holtby tandem. And I still don't like that trade as one trade itself, but whatever. We talked about that last week. But Halak, I mean, he's been playing well for the most part. And if he's the guy that they think gives them the chance to get into the playoffs, that makes sense to me. Because we've had Holtby here for a few years now, but we got to remember, he's a really young guy. I mean, if you go and you look at the last, you know, great Caps goalie that came through with Ole Kolzig, he didn't really hit his stride and become a number one until his later in his 20s, when he was 27. Holtby's still what, like 21?
I think it's
22, 23, yeah. Something like that. You know, he's still a young guy. Still got years ahead of him in his career. So the fact that they bring in a guy who's a little bit older, who's still a young goalie in terms of, you know, he's not like a 35, 36-year-old goalie. You know, he's still in his 20s. I think it was it still works out for the team. I think it was a good move, just not as one particular trade. And I still like to see Holtby get a few games, because when it comes to the playoffs, Holtby, for whatever reason, just you know, he plays well in the playoffs. He's the guy that can go out there and steal you a few games. Not that Halak can't. He stole that series for Montreal from the Capitals, as well as didn't he also beat the Penguins that same year?
Oh, God, I don't remember.
I feel like they went out, Montreal was able to go out and beat the Capitals and the Penguins. And then they lost to the Flyers?
I believe so.
Was that the year? Yeah, that was the year Pronger was being a D-bag with Niemi when he was playing for Chicago. Anyway, sorry, that was a random tangent. You know, it was one of those things where you're just like, what? Let's go back into NHL history. but hello, I mean, it's one of those things where I'm still wondering why they made the move. I understand if they weren't necessarily confident with Holtby, because, again, he's still sort of getting used to the system. Change in terms of the way he's playing. Kolzig wants him playing deeper in the net, and he was used to coming out more. As we remember, when he first came up with the Capitals, especially in that series against Boston, he would come flying out of the net to challenge shooters. So
do you remember before that series, I think it was the same year before the playoffs, he played in Madison Square Gardens up against the Rangers, and he came skating out and actually like did like a baseball slide into one of the Rangers to get him away from the puck. But then the puck goes sliding into the center of the ice, and another Ranger's coming down the ice, and he's like so far out of the goal. He's like, you know, at one of the faceoff markers. I mean, the dude was crazy coming up. He had no fear going out of the net or going out of his crease.
Yeah, I mean, it was – well, I would hope he wouldn't do that all the time coming that far out. But it was a situation where he liked to come out and challenge shooters, and as long as you're good at it, I guess that works to some extent. But the fact is the NHL game is so fast now that if you come out and guess wrong, it's going to go against you. You guys are going to be able to move the puck across the ice and be able to get an empty net. So the fact that they're having him sit deeper I think is the right thing, and he's just got to get used to it. You know, maybe it's messing with his head a little bit, not to a huge negative effect, but to the extent that he – is thinking too much during the game and not just reacting. And that's a problem. So maybe that's one of the reasons why they decided to go out and bring in a goalie who isn't going to be doing that quite as much. Well, hopefully he gets used to this new style of playing. And then maybe, you know, maybe this is a season where he just adapts to that. And the next season, he may be that guy. And with the way things happened today with the Capitals signing a free agent college goalie, it makes me think that Halak is definitely going to be a rental and that Grabauer is going to be their guy next season. Mm-hmm. So We'll see how those things go.
We'll see how it goes. But Grubauer, you know, he definitely caught Adam Oates' attention when he was up here. I mean, Oates kept three goalies on for what, a month and a half. So Grubauer's definitely going to be a factor next season. We'll see what happens. All right, so before we finish talking about the games and everything that has happened this past week, which, by the way, I didn't get to watch any of the Vancouver game because I was on my way to Ocean City Friday night, and John Walton...
Who goes to Ocean City in the winter?
Hey, it was for St. Paddy's Day weekend, which...
Fair enough.
Let me tell you, man, St. Paddy's Day weekend in Ocean City is friggin' awesome. But
there's not much else to do there.
Yeah, there's green beer everywhere. There's a parade, which we drove too late to get to, so we drove, you know, with the parade as it was going on, right past it down Coastal Highway. So, but let me just give a shout out to John Walton and Ben Raby and everybody that works for the Caps Radio Network. Listening to the game was so much fun. I was stuck in a backup from Annapolis to the Bay Bridge, and it was a ton of fun just listening to that game all the way to Ocean City. Those guys are just a class act. They know exactly what they're doing. They make it so much fun. I felt like I was there for the game, but those guys are great. But let's talk about that Vancouver game for Kuznetsov. Here is this guy. Everybody's waiting for him, and everybody's saying, you know, don't expect too much from him too fast. You know, you got to let him ease in. He definitely looked, or at least he sounded to me, like an NHLer from that Vancouver game. The guy came up with 3 points. That was his first NHL point that night. And my favorite part, and I heard John Walton say this on the radio, is the fact that he went into the goal and took the puck out himself to make sure he had that puck from his first point in the NHL. So Kuznetsov, I'm liking what I'm seeing still, and the fact that he got his first NHL point, I gotta have a feeling is a huge hurdle for him, but he's still hunting for that first goal.
Yeah, you haven't scored a goal yet. What the heck, kid? put the puck in the back of that. No, I mean, I thought he's played great. He came out and I think his first two games against Pittsburgh were a little tough. I would have rather seen his first two games be against teams that he would have had, you know, potentially an easier chance to get a goal, although he came pretty close in the second one against Pittsburgh. But, you know, he's a very talented player. He's certainly feeling more comfortable in the system. He's doing some good things. He drew a penalty in the I think that led to the goal in the Anaheim game. You know, he's doing very well. He's playing good. He's got bumped up to the second line. He looked great in the Vancouver game, being able to hold on to the puck. He doesn't seem like he's in over his head at all, you know, playing against – I mean, he was playing against adults in Russia. Let's not, you know, be wrong about that. But, you know, he's not playing against players of the same caliber. When you're playing against adults in the KHL, it's not quite the same as playing against adults in the NHL, because the guys in the NHL are just flat out better. There's no question about that.
And so most of the guys in the KHL were old enough to be his dad.
Well, that is also certainly a possibility. Some of them definitely were. You got some older dudes. I mean, some guys here, you got Yager is probably old enough to be his father.
Oh, yeah, his grandfather probably.
No. Well, hold on. Let's think about this. Technically, that's possible, but that would be a little weird. Little southern U.S. force. Anyways, right. But, you know, I mean, the kid's played well. He doesn't, like I said, he doesn't look in over his head, and I think that he's just got to continue doing what he's doing, playing on that second line. And he's still getting some power play time. You've seen him out there a couple of times with Ovechkin. So I think he's just having a good time, having fun, and hopefully helping this team push themselves to the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm definitely liking what I'm seeing from the guy. I think he's loosening up Ovi even more because Ovi and him love posting videos on Instagram of those guys hanging out. I mean, those three Russian guys, you know, we need to think of this. Let's we can talk about this on Twitter. If you're listening out there, tweet to us. Let us know what you think about this as well. But we need a name for Ovi, Orlov, and Kuznetsov. We need a click name for those guys, because those guys hanging out is hilarious on social media. But those three Russians are sticking together. They're having fun being a part of the Capitals, and they love hanging out together. But we need a name for those three guys. Like, I don't want to just call them like the Russian Mafia or something like that.
That's not bad, though.
I want a cool, fun name to name those three. So if you're listening out there, tweet to Dan and I, of course, on Twitter. Let us know what you think should be a name for these three guys, because there's got to be – we got to call them something. They're too much fun not to have their own click name.
Yeah, it's you know, they'd never be in a line together necessarily. That doesn't work out. But, you know, it'd certainly be one of those fun things I'm sure they'd have. Yeah, the Young Guns things they had come out before with, what, Ovechkin, Backstrom, Semin, and Green. And, you know, I'm sure they'll come up with some sort of Russian – I mean, they had, what, 5 Russians on the team at one point? And they had the whole interviews and everything with Ovechkin, Semin, Fedorov, Kozlov, and Varlamov were all on the team at the same time.
I think Varley.
I want to say it's a possibility. So it's a lot of Ovs. What's going on there? but you know, it's I'm sure it's a I'm sure it's fun for these guys to have fellow countrymen with them, and it makes things easier, especially when you have a kid like Kuznetsov come over to be able to sort of bunk with Ovechkin, have his wife there, both of their wives there. It's just got to be easier, especially for him to adapt to the culture, because it's not just him coming over and playing in a new league. He's got to adapt to a whole other country and new teammates and new people around him, finding new grocery stores. You know, where's the closest 7-Eleven? Do they even have 7-Eleven in Russia? I mean, it was one thing. When Varlamov came over and was playing in Hershey, he had no Russians with him, and he barely spoke any English. Now, as I understand it, Kuznetsov does speak English pretty well, much better than Ovechkin did when he first came over. So I'm sure it's easier for him in the end, and it'll be better for his career to have Russians like Ovechkin and Orlov sort of around the team every day and for him to be able to talk to these guys.
Yeah, it's definitely a good adaptation for him. So let's see what he does in the next week or so. Let's see what he does for the rest of the season. But Kuznetsov definitely making himself feel at home. Ovi's welcoming him with open arms, giving him a big bear hug, hanging out with Orly and Ovi. So we'll see what happens in the future here. But let's talk about the big news that broke this week. Brooks Like is going to be out, I guess, 4 to 6 weeks is what they're saying. He had surgery. Of course, for the last 2 years, he's been on and off with the Capitals. He's been having this groin problem. And I think it all happened when he was playing over in Europe during the lockout. So, I mean, a lot of people are saying, well, that's it for the Caps this season. Nothing's going to happen for them. But I don't really agree with the fact that just because Brooks Like is now out for these next couple weeks that it's over for the entire team, because I feel as if the team really hasn't played with Brooks Like in the line for a long time. I mean, it feels like the last 2 years he was like a Hershey Bear almost, coming up every other game if somebody else was hurt. So, I mean, with Brooks Like going out and getting this surgery and looks like possibly fixing whatever his problem was, finally, it's good for him as a professional, but I don't think it really affects this team as much as a lot of people are thinking.
Yeah, I mean, like being out, he does a lot of things for this team. I mean, this season, not so much offensively, but defensively, he does a very good job as sort of a checking line forward, and he's able to be out there on the power play, even if he's not scoring, and the PK unit. So having him out and sort of his versatility when he's healthy, I think, is going to hurt this team to some extent. But I think other guys are stepping up, and Chimera and especially Joel Ward. You see him out there on the PK and on the power play, and he's doing a good job and putting the puck in the back of the net. And I think if he's healthy this summer, which is a big if, but if Brooks Like is healthy by the time the season ends, I think he is definitely a candidate to get bought out. They have that other amnesty buyout, and I think he's definitely – the guy that could find his way, not having a team to play for in early July or something like that. And then, you know, maybe he'll go and sign with LA and be closer to his woman, and that'd be nice for him. But in the end, he's got a big contract. He's got what? I think it's let me bring up capgeek.com real quick. But I believe his contract is $4.5 million. That's his cap hit for the next couple of seasons. And that's a big cap hit for a guy that's not going to be playing for your team. With the salary cap ceiling apparently not being as high as they thought, I think it was supposed to be like in the low 70s, now it being in the high 60s, that's a problem. Like's contract goes through the 2016-2017 season, so that's not anytime soon that he would be a free agent. If he is healthy, I think he's definitely the guy they're going to buy out. I know some people have talked about Mike Green as a possibility, but I still think he has some value in the trade market that you'd be able to move him out. I think Like has no value in the trade market or not enough, and he's definitely a guy you can just be like, you know what, we appreciate everything you've done, but we think it's best for this team for you to go, and no hard feelings. And I don't think Like would be the kind of guy who would have hard feelings. And maybe he goes and signs on with another team and ends up coming back and playing a little better against the Capitals and every other team he plays against, and that's certainly a possibility. You want to be able to show your former employers that they were wrong in trading, cutting, releasing you, buying you out, whatever. But I don't think that's a situation where it's going to come back to hurt them in the offseason, because they can go out and sign a guy probably for less money that can play just as well as Like can.
Right. And the whole thing
and
is –
I like Brooks Like. Don't I want anyone to get – sorry, I'm going to cut you off. I like the guy. I have his T-shirt. He was a good player. He seems like a really good guy. I remember I was at Kettler one time, and he came out the front doors and was signing autographs. And my girlfriend and my sister wanted to get a picture with him. And they had asked him politely, and he kind of like acknowledged them, but he was doing something. He was signing someone else, and he goes, hold on. And someone comes up and goes, hey, Brooks or Like or whatever, Mr. Like. I don't know. That'd be weird to say. Mr. Like? That just sounds weird. He goes, oh, hold on. They asked me first. So then he turned around and got a picture with them, and I thought that was really awesome of him. So he seems like a great guy to have on the team, but if he can't stay healthy, it's not about – unfortunately, it's not about the people. It's a business, and you want guys that are going to be healthy and playing for you for the long term. And if Like's not the guy, then he might be the guy to go.
Right. And of course, with this buyout situation, if he were to go on like long term injury reserve or something, they couldn't buy him out, correct?
I think the way – I'm fairly certain the way it works is that the player has to be healthy for you to buy him out. You are not allowed to buy out a player if he is currently injured. Now, the timeline that they were given, I believe he had successful surgery on his groin area. The timeline is 4 to 6 weeks, which eliminates him from the rest of the regular season. It's highly unlikely that he would be back for the rest of the regular season.
According to him, he was on the radio this morning. He said he's going to be back. His season's not over.
Well, but he's going to be back eventually. Oh, wow. Somebody already tweeted to us with your name. Oh, God. Ovech Kuznetsorlov. Dude, that's way too much.
Ovech Kuznetsorlov. That's no.
Too much going on there. Too much going on. Yeah, it's 4 to 6 weeks. So he thinks he's going to come back. He's not going to come out and be like, yep, I'm done. You know, he's going to come out and play. That's what we like. You know, that's what you like about the guy. That's why you want him to be on this team, because he wants to be out there. But if he can't stay healthy, that's a big problem. But 4 to 6 weeks puts him at, I don't know, what is it, middle of March? That puts him at June? Middle of June at the very latest, I would guess. So my guess is that I don't know how you necessarily clear him if the season is over. I mean, let's be honest. This Capitals team is probably not going to go all the way to the Stanley Cup. So – you know, I don't know how you necessarily clear a guy. Maybe he just goes to the doctor and the doctor says, yep, you're good to go. And then the team says, okay, see you later. But one way or another, they're going to have to determine that he's healthy, and then they'll be able to buy him out.
Yeah, so we'll see what they decide to do. Maybe we'll figure out if he actually goes on long-term injury reserve the next week or so. Maybe we'll see like how long they're expecting him to be out. Or if they do keep him on the active roster, maybe that's a sign of the fact that they do want to buy him out. I mean, anything could really happen. From here on out with him, I hope he is able to get better, and I hope he is able to continue his career. I mean, this is definitely, it's kind of reminds me a little bit of that Sidney Crosby injury a couple years ago, where he kept having, you know, headaches, and he kept having these concussion symptoms, but then they figured out it was like something with his vertebrae that he had surgery on, and then everything was okay. It kind of makes me feel like that, where they thought it was something around his groin and he kept pulling this, but now they're figuring out it's something else, and he had surgery pretty quickly.
Well, that's what he said, a couple of months ago. He said, oh, we finally have figured it out, and he was all fired up and excited, and he's good to go. And then, you know, a little while later, he's hurt again. So, I mean, it's a situation where the Caps have to look at the financials and look at the team and decide, is he worth the risk of hanging on to? Or you just say, look, we'd love to have you here, but it's just the risk is too much for what we want to be, what kind of team we want to be and where we want to be at right now and where our cap hit is, our cap situation is. And we appreciate you, everything you've done, but we have this opportunity to sort of get out from under your contract and see you later. It's not a situation where they got rid of Jeff Schultz. That was a situation where like, look, you suck, get out. I mean, I'm sure they didn't say that to him, but that was pretty much the situation. I mean, the guy he's not making the NHL. He's not an NHL player anymore, if he ever really was. I mean, he rode that sort of hot season, and everyone was like, Jeff Schultz is great. No, he's not. But it's sort of a situation where I'm sure that they want Brooks Lyk on this team, but his cap hit is just too high. If his cap hit was like 2.5, and he was having these problems, I don't think it's as big a deal as $4.5 million.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens down the road. Other stuff going on in Caps world, we got to talk about Orlov again. Dude got a healthy new contract, and it seems like he's going to be a Capital for at least the next 2 years, so congrats to him.
I don't think he wants to get traded anymore. Or if he ever did, who knows? He got a two-year deal, comes out to, I think his capping comes out to about $2 million, which is kind of high for a guy that hasn't really shown that he is a consistent NHL player just yet. I mean, offensively, I think he's been doing great. He's very confident. Defensively, not so much. So to give him a deal worth $2 million makes me wonder a little bit about what their offseason plans are necessarily going to be and if another high-priced defenseman may be on his way out. So it sort of makes you think, and it's not going to be Carl Osner or John Carlson. So it makes me wonder what their plans are for him. I think it looks like Oates definitely has him penciled in as a second-pairing defenseman unless they decide to hang on to Green and sign some sort of – or trade for a veteran defensive defenseman who can play with Green. Then maybe Orlov gets bumped back to the third pairing. But with the fact that he got a two-year deal at $2 million per – I think the first one's like 1.75 and the second one is 2.25 or something like that. So the cap hit comes out to $2 million a year. It's certainly an interesting situation that they have, but congratulations to him on getting that new deal. And I like Orlov a lot. I think he's a very good player for this team. He's got to improve defensively. And if he can, I think he's going to be a very talented hockey player for this team.
Yeah, that's what. Once he figures it all out, once he kind of works in the system and everything, I believe that he'll be a great addition to this team. I am definitely a little bit worried about his emotions getting the better of him, because we have seen that happen with in the past and this year with his suspension.
Yeah, he can't be a dummy anymore.
Yeah, so now that he knows he's got the NHL money and he's going to be here for 2 years, I guess he can kind of chill out and maybe not have to prove himself being a badass every game, but still playing with a lot of that fire that he has played with before. So congrats to him on this new contract. Anything else we got to talk about in Caps world?
A couple of things. The Caps actually called up Patrick Way on Monday, and he played in Anaheim, I believe, over Connor Carrick. I didn't really see much from him during that game, but I saw some good things on Twitter, so it sounds like the kid played pretty well. But let's not go crazy and certainly think he's a second coming of Scott Stevens or Rod Langway or anything like that. The Caps also called up Chris Brown today. Not really sure why, today being Wednesday, of course. Maybe he plays tomorrow in LA. Maybe not. Not really sure. Sometimes I feel like McPhee makes moves just for fun. Because I haven't called anybody up in a while. Let's do this. You know, it's just one of those things. I'm not really sure why he's called up. Maybe there's an injury to somebody I haven't noticed yet. But
George McPhee's got those frequent flyer miles he's got to use until before the end of the season.
Yeah, it's not like he's calling him up to Washington. He's got to fly him across the country.
Yeah.
So I guess he's got some frequent flyer miles. He's trying to put some more on his credit card. Who knows? The Caps announced that they have signed free agent college goalie Phoenix Copley, except for, I don't know if it's pronounced Phoenix because the E and the O are reversed in his name. So figure that one out.
Okay.
To a 2-year entry level deal. That actually takes effect next season, but he will be reporting to Hershey on sort of a tryout basis. So we'll see how that goes. He spent the last two seasons playing at Michigan Tech. Now the guy's name is Phoenix, I think, Copley. He was born, or he's from, I should say, North Pole, Alaska.
Whoa.
Just let that sink in for a minute. A guy named Phoenix is from the North Pole. And the final little bit of Caps news is that the International Olympic Committee has announced that Nicholas Backstrom will, in fact, receive his silver medal.
Good move.
So that is pretty awesome for him. Congratulations to him on getting the medal, even though he should have had the opportunity to fight for the gold. And the International Olympic Committee is a bunch of jerks. That whole situation still seems incredibly sketchy. But the fact he's able to go and get his silver medal, they did the right thing there after doing the wrong thing. So congrats to Nicholas Backstrom.
Yeah, after everything that happened, at least Nick Backstrom can say that he's got his silver medal. I still feel for the guy. He definitely should have been able to play. That was a bull crap call. It was just terrible the games that they played with him. But it seems as if he's at least getting that silver medal, which he should. So, I mean, it's a worst case situation, but I guess it's the best scenario out of that situation that he could have gotten. So he should have been able to put that medal around his neck on the ice in Sochi and not have to do all this other bull crap. But congrats to Nicky. He deserves that silver medal. Congrats, man. I'm glad that he's getting that. So that's it for Caps World.
Yeah, that's pretty much all of the Caps news for the past week.
All right, well, we're going to make a quick pit stop in Baltimore with a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and then we're going to go up 83 to talk some Hershey Bears and Reading Royals and maybe going a little bit even more north, who knows. But here we go. Here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, guys, here we are. We're up 83. We're going to talk Hershey Bears. We're going to talk Reading Royals. Plenty of stuff going on. Coach Dan, what's going on in the Chocolate City?
Well, since we last talked, Hershey went 1-1-1 with a win over Adirondack, but lost to Norfolk and an overtime loss to Syracuse. Now, if this team wants to get back into the playoff race, they're going to have to stop going 1-1-1. The Bears currently sit at fourth in the East Division with 70 points and are ninth in the East. So they're out of the playoff picture. They're 4 points back of the eighth spot in the conference. So they really need to go on a run here and win a couple of games if they want to get back into the playoff race, because it seems like they are slowly sliding out of it. Reading, on the other hand, followed the lead of Hershey, because they also went 1-1-1. I don't know what's going on up in Pennsylvania right now. They're able to get a win over Elmira, but lost in regulation and in overtime to Wheeling, which is not good. The Royals currently sit at first in the Atlantic Division with 79 points, but are unfortunately second in the Eastern Conference. They dropped back from the first spot that they were in last week. Now, that is the past week in AHL and ECHL, but you have more on the OHL playoffs.
That's right. Before we hit there, though, I want to talk to you real quick about this Hershey Bears goalie. Have you seen this video of David, I think it's Leggio, imitating Pierre Maguire?
I have not.
Why oh, my
have
God.
Not this to me?
You need to see this. I'm going to play a little bit on the show just so you can hear it. But the guy sounds, I mean, it's a perfect imitation of Pierre. I mean, it's crazy.
Mr. Kane, home Buffalo, New York resident.
Yeah.
He scored a dandy at home in Buffalo. He had about 5,000 South Buffalo people there cheering him on when he scored. I thought I was in Chicago. I wasn't. I was in Buffalo. I had some chicken wings in the Anchor Bar there. Home of the Buffalo wing.
His Pierre Maguire impression definitely right on point, and he's very good. I want to hear more from this guy.
I don't know, man. If it's anything going to be like Pierre Maguire, it certainly sounds like she'll be talking a lot more about Crosby and kissing up to his ass.
That definitely is his thing. So here, I'm gonna tweet that to you right now. But yeah, let's talk about this a little bit. Andrei Burakovsky, I believe that's how you say his last name. I'm terrible with that last name. He plays for the Erie Otters, and for the first time since 2011, they're actually making the OHL playoffs. Now, Erie is way up there, way up north. They are up against the Saginaw Spirit in the OHL quarterfinal playoffs, and if you want to go check them out, their first game is Friday, March 21st at 7 o'clock, then game two is Saturday, March 22nd at 7 o'clock, and then Monday, March 24th at 7:11. Very, very specific there, apparently. And then Wednesday, March 26th, 7:11 once again. So best of luck to the Erie Otters. Our boy Andrei Burakovsky, our number one draft pick last year. Supposedly he's had an amazing season in the OHL, has done really well. I would personally, from what I've read and what I've heard about this kid, I wouldn't be surprised if he is at least going to play a few games as a Capital next year. He seems like he's doing really well this year. So I'm very excited to hear that. I'd like to check out some of these playoff games for the OHL. And Coach Dan, if you were to leave Baltimore and head up to the arena in Erie, all you'd have to do is get in your car, go up 83, and then a couple more roads, and then it's just a six-hour drive. So really,
just a six-hour drive.
Really, you could just do that. I mean, that's a pretty good little Saturday.
Well, actually, pretty nice little Saturday. We're gonna go to Home Depot. Yeah, buy some wallpaper, maybe get some flooring, stuff like that. Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond, I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
You have to leave at, what, noon? Just in case of traffic?
Just in case.
They're about 6:30. wait a minute. Now, is this a six-hour drive from Baltimore?
This is from Baltimore, yes.
See, that's like 6:45 for me because I'm coming from the D.C. area.
Yeah, there you go. So, yes, 7 hours for you. But man, let me just tell
you. That's out of my driving range.
Me and my
buddy. Six, maybe. Seven, no, you kill me.
Yeah.
At that point, what's the difference?
my buddy Barry and I, we went to a Reading Royals game when the lockout was going on because we were so starved for hockey. And that was a two-hour drive, man. And let me tell you, my buddy Barry, like the whole way up there, he's like, no, it's cool. We're fine. It's not that far of a drive. And then we got off at 83 and I think went on to 30. And he was like, all right, we should be there any minute now. And I'm like, no, dude, that's the halfway point. We still have a whole another hour to drive. So I asked him to go to a Reading Royals game this year, this past December. And he was like, yeah, a two-hour drive was a bit much in a day. I don't know if we're gonna do that again. So I can just imagine being like, "Hey, man, you want to go to Erie? It's only 6 hours away. We're cool."
You're right. I drove up to. I drove through Reading. Actually, I was going up to Allentown for my girlfriend in a marathon, and she's crazy. And I just drive along. I'm like, "Hey, I'm in Reading." It took me forever to get here. It seems like so far, but it's actually I would have liked to. One day I want to go to a Royals game. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, they're pretty fun games. I do like Reading. They have a good atmosphere. But that's if that's it for 83. We talked Hershey Bears. We talked Reading Royals. Now we're talking Erie Otters. Man, what are we right now? What kind of podcast is this? Going all over Pennsylvania. As long as we don't go in Pittsburgh, that's cool. But that's it for Up 83. Now it's time to go around the NHL. All right, man, the NHL staying at least a little bit busy, maybe not as crazy as when the trades were going on, but still, they've got plenty of, you know, suspensions and fines and all that good stuff to hand out. So what is the NHL up to this week?
Well, let's start with some good news for Pittsburgh as Chris Letang returned to practice with the team 2 months after having a stroke. No, I don't wish for good things to happen to the Penguins, let's be honest. But Letang is a person, it's good to see that he is getting better because that was pretty scary what was going on with him about 2 months ago. In other good news, Dallas announced that Rich Peverly had successful heart surgery. This comes after he collapsed, after he collapsed last week during a game against Columbus. So that's pretty awesome to see that he's better. It certainly sounds like he's still going to be out for the season, but that doesn't really matter. As a person, it's good to see that he is getting better.
Yeah.
Former NHLer Peter Nedved announced his retirement last Thursday. Honestly, I kind of thought he'd already retired. My bad. He played the last 7 seasons in Europe, which is probably why I thought that. He finished his NHL career with 310 goals and 717 points in 982 games with Vancouver, St. Louis, Pittsburgh, the New York Rangers, Edmonton, Phoenix, and Philadelphia. Buffalo has had no luck this season. Former Cap goalie Michael Norvirth first went down with an injury, followed shortly by other starting goaltender Jonas Enroth. So apparently, if you're not busy, they may be giving you a phone call to come play goalie for them in the very near future.
All right.
Yeah, well, you never know. You can go play in Buffalo. You thought we have snow bad. I mean, you know, Jesus, who knows what's going on up there. And finally, some good news out of San Jose, where the Make-A-Wish Foundation set up an 18-year-old with one hell of a great day. This is pretty cool. Sam Tegeson, I think I said that correctly, he is a lifelong Sharks fan suffering from hypoplastic left heart syndrome, a life-threatening heart condition. This is pretty scary sounding. But he got to spend the day with the team, signing a one-day contract, participating in practice, and getting to skate out onto the ice before the game started. He even got to be on the ice for the national anthem. Now, it's no Bat Kid, but it's still pretty awesome. I thought that was a really cool thing for the Sharks to do and the Make-A-Wish Foundation, who seem to be doing great things every week.
Yeah, just real quick, I mean, I got to see that video. If you haven't seen that video, and I'm assuming since you're listening to this podcast, you're a hockey fan, this so far is out there besides hockey. I mean, you can appreciate this no matter if you hate sports, if you love sports, if you're a football fan, baseball fan. None of that matters here because the joy on this guy's face, I mean, when he's standing there for the national anthem and when they show him on the Jumbotron and he kind of breaks down and tears up and just kind of waves to the crowd and everyone's applauding him. Man, I was sitting in my office today watching it, and I mean, I had tears, you know, going in my eyes because it was an absolutely beautiful moment. I mean, not every day do you get to see, you know, human beings being really great people to human beings, you know? So really everything that the Sharks did, everything that Make-A-Wish did for this kid, just unbelievable. I mean, it is so hard to find good organizations that'll do that for anybody. So big, you know, a big thank you from us here to the Sharks because that, you know, that made that kid's day, made that kid's life. I mean, he looked so happy. If you look at one of the longer videos after he signed his contract, they threw a press conference for him. So the media got together and asked him questions at a press conference. He really did feel like he was a part of this team, that he was a player on this team. So really, San Jose, everybody in that town, in that organization, just thank you for doing that for that guy, because really it was an amazing thing to see.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the video and it was just, I mean, it's ridiculous to see those things. It's just amazing to see. You know, you see all this stuff going on in the world that's just sort of crazy and terrible things happening, and then you see something like this where you just, you know, yeah, there are a lot of bad people in the world, but there are also a lot of good ones.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's all the news from the past week in the NHL.
All right. Well, the Capitals, they're going to have a busy week this week. They got a lot of tough games coming up. Thursday, March 20th, the Capitals are in LA, in Hollywood, up against the Kings. Hopefully you're a late night owl. 10:30
nope.
Start on the East Coast. So
I'd be up at 6:30, not watching.
So 10:30, that will be on Comcast Sportsnet Plus. Saturday, March 22nd, the Capitals are actually in San Jose up against the Sharks. That's another 10:30 start, Comcast Sportsnet. And then on Tuesday, the Capitals are back in D.C., and they're bringing the Kings along with them. Maybe they'll share a flight or whatever. So Tuesday, March 25th, Kings visit the Capitals in D.C. Regular time, 7 o'clock start, Comcast Sportsnet. So only 3 games in between now and when we record again. So these are going to be tough ones. The Sharks, I believe they're tied or or right above the Ducks for their division or even in their conference in the West. So that's definitely going to be a tough one for the Capitals. That's going to be a good one to watch. And then the Kings. I mean, the Kings had a great run. They've got Jonathan Quick in goal for them, so that's definitely going to be a tough one for the Capitals. But it doesn't matter anymore. These are all must-win games. So the Capitals, I think this is really going to be at least good practice for a potential Stanley Cup playoff matchup, because all the Sharks and the Kings are both great teams, and the Capitals really need to prove that they can be a great team against great teams. They got to prove that they can score goals and play good defense against teams that already have good defense and good offense.
Yeah, I think at this point they need to show that they are the good team, and that when they go into play in any night that other teams should be worried about playing them. And I don't think that's going to be necessarily the case this season, especially with the way this team has been playing defense as of late. But if they can go out there, and they just got to get every point they can, however they can, to, you know, and they're still having problems. I mean, they went out and got, what, a too many men on the ice penalty. I mean, you should not be getting too many men on the ice penalties this late in the freaking season. It's ridiculous that the coaching staff is unable to control these guys to make sure everybody's jumping on the ice at the right freaking time. It comes down to, are they paying enough attention? So for right now, the biggest thing is that they should be playing playoff hockey. It should have already started when they got back from the Olympics, and it didn't right away. But they went 3-0 in the past week, and hopefully when we talk next week that we talk about how they've gone 3-0 again.
Absolutely. So that's what we're hoping for. Best of luck to the Capitals. If you want to talk to us via Twitter, you can do that. Make sure you tweet to us and tell us we need to know a trio name. We've had one submission so far. We were a little iffy on that, but we want more names. Like, I want to maybe just call them the Rounders because I love that movie so much, and Teddy KGB's in it, but I don't know. Tweet to us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash, and Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you?
You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is Cap's fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
There it is. of course, you can go to BrandoCash.com, our brand new website. You get information about this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network. We're going to post some blogs up there soon once, you know, life calms down a little bit. We're also on social media for the shows and the network. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like the network over there. You can also like What the Puck, the show on Facebook. Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Two P's in that title. Follow the show on Twitter at WTP_podcast, and like us over there, follow us over there, stay in touch with us, let us know. Now, this show, we talk about it every week, is done for free. You guys download it, stream it for free. All of that's good stuff, man. You gotta love getting stuff for free, but you gotta help us out and help us get even bigger than we already are. I mean, we're so big anyway. But you can help us get bigger. Talk to people on social media. Let them know that you are a Caps fan. You listen to What the Puck, and they should too. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Let people know about What the Puck. Write us an iTunes review. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and CapsHill.com. Each one of those places has a comment section for the show. Write a comment on all four of those things if you want, and let people know that you are a Caps fan and you like What the Puck. So that's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. This has been a fun one. We've had a lot of good stuff to talk about. Good luck to the Erie Otters in the OHL playoffs. But most importantly, Caps, do what you got to do in California. Come back with two wins and then win again in D.C. So until then, we're saying let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
I believe the way... Sorry, you caught me in the middle of drinking water.
Usually I have a lot more to say than that.
I was trying to go quick, and then you stopped, and I was like, oh, I gotta speak. It's good to see that he is getting better.
Yeah.
Former NHLer... Sorry, you want to say something?
No, I agree with you.
Okay. We should just cut this part out because it's terrible. here we go again.